Welcome, friends, to the Enduring Gifts of Marvin Gaye podcast, brought to you by your 26-year listening veteran, Jessica. Join me as we celebrate these enduring gifts, the songs of Marvin Gaye. In each episode, I will share insights about the music and recount life experiences tied to it. I'm hoping to inspire you to take a first or your 500th first listen to these songs that are truly the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye. Welcome to the first episode of the series, The Enduring Gifts of Marvin Gaye. And this episode is sexual healing, primarily Rocking After Midnight. It's a combo of both. It's really kind of an introduction and a focus on that specific song. So, where I got inspiration for the beginning of this episode was recently I was watching a cute little biography on Marvin Gaye on TV. And in that biography, they were sharing date details that I had not previously had associated with different aspects of Marvin's career. And one of the dates they threw out was that the single Sexual Healing was released September 30th, 1982. And it was that date that just was a light bulb, like, whoa, gotta record this. And it just kind of actually gave me my life to understand how intense and deep and long this connection to Marvin has been in existence in my life. Because let's go to the year 1982. That is the year that I have my earliest memory recall. I do have some, you know, little tidbit flashbacks from time prior to that, but in 1982, I was 3 years old. And specifically, let me continue on. September 30th, 1982 was literally 7 days after my younger sister was born. And one of my most vivid early memories of that time is, and it had to have been the days before and the days after that my sister was born, because a key element to my memory is that my stepmother was not in the house. This was a one and only time that just me and my dad were at home. It was nighttime and he was playing with me, and he, like, really playing with me. We were playing circus. So I was down on all fours and he was down on all fours with me, and we were crawling around in a circle. I feel like we were pretending to be elephants. And I really remember that because it's a very vivid memory of my dad just, like, playing with me for real. You know what I mean? Like, it's sometimes it's kind of hard to play with very small children like that when you're an adult, because you have to let yourself go back to the pureness of being able just to play, right? And so, but my dad was doing a very good job of that. And but I, the, like, key aspect of that memory is, like I said, my stepmom not being in the house. And that had to have been because she was at the hospital, had just about to, or had just given birth to my sister. And then I just a couple of weeks ago come to find out that 7 days after my sister was born, Marvin released the single Sexual Healing. Now, that puts a very intense context to my connection to Marvin Gaye into perspective for me, because it tied it to me. It was a very deep little nugget of information that I got there. It was like, wow, Marvin has been coming through the airwaves into my life for literally as far back as I can remember in my life. Because let's talk about Sexual Healing, right? That was a major, massive hit. So when I say coming through the airwaves, I mean, like, with intensity, to where oh, I knew that song. You know what I mean? Like, real well, because it was getting played all the time. And to the extent of that time frame was also literally the dawning of MTV. So it was the dawning of music video, and the Sexual Healing music video was on heavy rotation as well. So from the time as far back on the planet as I have memories, Marvin has been a part of life, and very, you know, heavily. Even at that time, it's not like at that time, you know, give it a scenario of like, oh, Marvin had been retired or wasn't recording music anymore. And, you know, it's 10 years since his latest hit or something that's being played on the radio. And so if you are going to ever come across a Marvin Gaye song, you have deliberately tuned into an oldie station, and, you know, maybe two times a day you're going to hear I Heard It Through the Grapevine and Ain't No Mountain High Enough. You know, no, not like that. Totally exactly the opposite. No, he's got a current, relevant, smash worldwide hit that is going to result in the only two Grammys that the Grammy Awards got their heads out of their asses and decided to recognize him with. And I have this pulled up right now. He, in 19, I believe it was awarded to him in, okay, 1982. It says 25th Annual Grammy Awards, 1982. His wins are for Best R&B Vocal Performance Male, Sexual Healing, and Best R&B Instrumental Performance, Sexual Healing Instrumental Version. And so, massive, major hit, heavy radio rotation. Young children are knowing who he is, right? So, you know, it just, it was like, wow. It just, for how intensive my study and connection to and daily use of, so to speak, Marvin Gaye is to this day, I was going to say 26 years later, but it's not 26 years later. It's that on an almost daily basis, I have been listening to Marvin Gaye for 26 years, but this goes back to I was three. So that's 37 years, okay? Proud to tell my age. For 37 years, Marvin has been, you know, in my presence and in a recognizable way, you know, a way that I have my own memories associated with. So it's amazingly deep to me, amazingly deep. And so, yeah, it was just like, wow, that's to go back that far in one's memory bank, you know, it was like, wow, I remember September 30th, 1982. Oh my gosh, I was like a week before that playing circus with my dad. You know what I mean? It's just, it's amazing. So, Sexual Healing, right? It is heavily, you know, being played. It exposes me to Marvin Gaye. I know Marvin Gaye. I know what he looks like. I see him in his dapper suit. In some type of a club, a nightclub, right? There's also a scene of him in the limousine. There's the scene of him taking his sexual healing medicine from the doctor, right? And from the little syrup bottle, and he takes a spoonful of the syrup. I remember the video. And then I think probably like the closing out of the video is that he's made his way to this nightclub where he's doing his performance. And then there's the backup dancers, right? These ladies with their 1980s hair for sure. And the 1980s like dance costume, right? They're wearing these unitards. They're like sleeve. I'm seeing this in my mind's eye right now. And then after this, I'm going to Google this video and I need to watch the video again. They were wearing these black sleeveless nylon spandex, right? Unitards from shoulder to ankle, right? The spandex, dude. And then to top it off, right? To just like finish the look, these wrapped around the waist, white, what is the material? It's like chiffon, right? It's this kind of gauzy, lightweight, flowy skirt about to their little bit to their knee, probably about to their knee. I don't think it was much past their knee. Maybe it did go a little bit past the knee. skirts, and they're just giving you 1980s background on the stage dancer life, you know? So this was, the video was everything. And I knew it very well. Another memory that I have, you know, just kind of the extent of the exposure, Jermaine Jackson also had a pretty heavily rotated music video at the time. And just a slight detail that I remember about that video, there was a scene in his video where this lady is with these long fingernails is like scratching up his back. And so there was a day. And by this time, let me put my age into context now. So I'm about getting close to five. I'm not quite five. I'm definitely four. I'm four. But probably like late four, because this is very, very close to the next occurrence. You know, and I'm recalling watching this video. I am standing in my grandparents' living room. It's summertime. And I feel like there's a room full of it. Like, we're in the living room, and I feel like the room is full. Like, my grandparents are both there, my dad is there, and maybe even somebody else is there, because we were, like, sitting around the TV watching music videos. Like I said, this is the dawning of MTV. And back in those days, MTV did nothing but play music videos. There was no other content on MTV. There was no Jersey Shore. There was no Teen Mom. You know what I mean? They were not making standalone, you know, cast of characters productions like that. They had some music shows, but, and then those were not shown, you know, all day long. It was like maybe a once a week regular show for a half hour slot. And the rest of the time, they only played music videos. So it was a family experience here where we were sitting and watching, and it must have been like an R&B geared music video show, because this specific memory, the Jermaine Jackson video played where the lady scratched his back, and then it went into Sexual Healing. And so it was just like, ooh, like I remembered that one. I knew that one. That was a good thing. I wanted to listen to that video, right? So this is Marvin Gaye. You know, this is my experience with Marvin Gaye, my personal experience with Marvin Gaye, and I'm four. And shortly after this, the next kind of TV experience that I have with Marvin Gaye is
April 1st, 1984.
I'm in my, again, grandparents' living room, and the Evening News with Dan Rather is on. And I feel like it almost maybe led the broadcast, because it was definitely breaking news, and it was that singer Marvin Gaye had just been shot and killed by his father that day. And it was just one of the, you know what, it had to have been about probably my first experience with death. And when I think about that, when I just now said that, I actually don't think that that was my very first experience with death. I believe that my very first experience with death was driving with my grandparents to, I believe it was Kentucky, out of that very, very young age. And maybe it wasn't as far as Kentucky, maybe it was Kansas, but it was for the funeral of my grandfather's mother, my great-grandmother, who I am named after. And so that was my first experience with a funeral and death. So that I had already experienced, and I'm almost positive that it happened to me in life before Marvin Gaye was murdered. But this day, when that announcement was made on TV, I, to this day, recall it from the sensory experience that it was for me, of just being very terrified as a just newly now 5-year-old little girl standing in my grandparents' living room, you know, because the Evening News was on every night, and getting that announcement. And I know what the terror of that was the fact that his father had killed him. And it just kind of it gave me an example, an instance of it was in the fear that, oh no, parents can get mad enough at their children that they kill them. And I had seen my father, you know, frightfully upset with me, you know, by that point in time, you know, our, as children, when we're getting disciplined, you know, those are our instances of, you know, and so it, as that young child, I was not able to make a discernment that parents don't just do that. You know what I mean? And so I do remember, you know, getting that announcement and on the news, and they're playing, you know, clips of songs. And I feel like I Heard It Through the Grapevine was one. But then again, of course, Sexual Healing was also as well. And so later on in the night, now Entertainment Tonight was on, and they were breaking head news, you know, starting off the show with that announcement again. And by that point in time, you know, it's happened, it's been announced, it's kind of starting to sink in. And but I remember both my dad and my grandpa were in the kitchen. We had finished dinner. They were doing, you know, like cleaning up after dinner. And I, my grandma was present too, but she just wasn't a part of me walking into the kitchen at this moment. And I remember, and I needed to get this, and I remember it provided me all of the assurance I needed. It took away my fear, and I never revisited this topic for probably 20 plus years. And it was very important to get this assurance from those two men, my grandpa and my dad. My grandpa never disciplined me in my life, but my dad did, you know. And so I needed to get an answer on this question from my dad. So I went up to my dad and my grandpa, after, now it's just been announced on Entertainment Tonight again, right? So at that moment then, I remember I was in the living room again by myself, and I'm kind of getting a little bit scared again. So I leave the living room by myself to go around the corner into the kitchen where my dad and grandpa were, and I just needed to ask them, was Marvin Gaye's dad going to be in trouble because of what he did? And was that like a really, really, really bad thing that his dad did? And without hesitation and with a certainty type of answer, you know what I mean? That as a little kid like that, you would get from your adults just making you feel safe. It squashed it for me. And like I said, for the next 20 plus years, I never looked into this again. My dad answered up right away, and he was like, oh yeah, his dad will go to jail for the rest of his life for that. That was all I needed to know. And I was safe again. That is how deep and traumatic the death of Marvin was to me. But you know, outside of having traveled at a much younger age, I think probably early four, if I even was, to go visit, go to the funeral of my great grandma, this was my really first personal experience with death, of a murder, right? And so it just, yeah, that is always going to be the very beginning of my Marvin Gaye experience. And it was very traumatic. So, and because of that, the album in itself, Sexual Healing, in the course of my 26-year journey of Marvin's music, it has not been an easy album for me to digest, process, accept, grasp, study, embrace. And the only time that I ever did actually get my hands on, you know, purchasing my own copy of the album was in college. That was the time frame that a deluxe studio sessions original version remastered double disc came out. And so I bought it, because by college time, I'm heavy, hardcore, deep, serious into my Marvin Gaye collection, acquisition, growth, process, study. So it was not an option to not get this album. That it was a necessary purchase and addition to my collection. And up to that point, I did not have a previous version of just the original studio version of the album. Throughout all of those years, from the time of 14 to I'm 18, 19, let's call me 19. you know, Sexual Healing is definitely an album that has been in production, you know, on disc since the dawning of discs being made, that as I have started my collection and going to the music store as often as I can with my little babysitting money to get the next disc that I need to add to my collection, call it almost every single time that I go to any music store, Sexual Healing is sitting there. I never make the purchase. I can't really take that album. So, but it was 19 when this deluxe version of it was released. It was like, F it, I have to get it into my collection, and this is a good version of it to get it, so let me just do it, and I've got it. And I went to university 2.5 hours away from home, but that allowed me to, you know, drive home often, and I did, and, you know, in those very first months of school, I'm still real homesick, so as often as I could, I would make the drive home. I'd go visit my grandma, just really needed to be close to home. And so, you know, I would pop in this double disc set as the music on my road trips, and that was the extent of it. You know, from never really having exposed myself to the entire album up to that point, I didn't really embrace it. There was still like a barrier to it. What that album has always kind of represented to me, and the barriers that it's had for me to get close to it, is it's the final. Right? It's the last. And when I am so... the term I want to use is in love, but I need to make sure that I put that into the right context, right? When I'm so in love with the music, right? I don't want to give an impression of like, oh, I'm so in love with the man. I don't, of course, I don't know the man. I can't be in love with the man. I'm in love with the man's soul. That is definitely what the man has given as his gift. It, the soul of Marvin Gaye is the enduring gift of Marvin Gaye. So I'm in love with that. I'm in love with the music. When I'm so in love with these aspects of Marvin, it's been sad and devastating that Sexual Healing had not really been something that I've been able to be as connected to as every other piece of material that I am always like dying to get my hands on. And so at that time when I was, you know, just listening to the disc, and the only time that I really have a context of listening to it is I'm on the highway. I'm on interstate highway. I'm driving for 2 hours back home, and it's kind of just filler music to drive to. I'm not studying it. I'm not embracing it. I'm not getting close to this material except for one song, which will be its own episode at a later date. But that's it. That's it. It's that short time frame of like the first month or so that I've bought the album and I'm listening to it driving back and forth. And then it kind of gets put back in its case and it's shelved. It actually has, let me actually clarify that, correct that. So this right here is my third or fourth attempt at recording this episode. So it's off the cuff, it's off the fly, and that's always the way that I want to do these. But here is a tidbit that just occurred to me that I have not in the 3 or 4 times previous that I've recorded this brought up. From the beginning, once I got into, at 14 plus, acquiring my own Marvin Gaye collection, that has consisted of CD compact discs, because that was the media at the time. Records were no longer being made, and nothing else beyond, MP3s didn't exist yet. If you wanted music, you had to hold it in your hand to be able to put it into some type of device to listen to it. If you couldn't pick it up and put it into something, you couldn't hear it unless you were humming it in your head. So that being the case, that I had to have my, you know, collection via compact discs, well, a way to have that portable with you. This is everything. Oh my God, dude. I am going to get my life through recalling the journey of this process, this journey, this gift, the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye. The only way that you could be mobile with your music back in those days. Oh my God. This is comedy, dude. It is literally what I said. You physically had to carry your music. Okay. It used to be before compact discs, it was a cassette tape. I've had them before it was a cassette tape. It was an 8-track. Now I can't brag about, you know, being able to, you know, thug out on an 8-track. I have seen them. They were retired at the time because didn't nobody have a mobile device? Didn't nobody have a car that had an 8-track player in it anymore? But I have seen 8-tracks. They used to be these really thick-ass box-looking things that were hollow on one side. Because it's what you plugged into this little outlet in the middle of your car console. Like your freaking cigarette lighter input. You know what I'm saying? Like it was a major experience. You know, you had an 8-track player in your automobile if you had one at the time, because that MF was taking up space. Okay. And I've seen them. My grandparents had some, but I never listened to music off of an 8-track. Okay. But this is, I'm saying, music used to be physical. Okay. It was an object. It had, you know, it was physical. There were physics around this shit. So the only way that you could be mobile with your music is you had to have some type of a case to carry your music in, right? And I am so proud, you know what I'm saying? And to this day, I still have my CD disc cases that I carry with me at all times. It's always in my car. And if it's not in my car, it will be for the rare occasion that I've needed to bring it. I was going between vehicles for some reason, or, you know, I was going to switch something out really quick. So I put it in my purse and I brought it in the house, but if it's in my house, it's usually in my purse or it's sitting on my dresser somewhere. But 9.9 times out of 10, it's sitting on the passenger seat of my car. I have two disc cases. So, and it has, each one has 10 slots front and back. So that has, actually, nope, it's not double-sided. It's a sleeve and a disc can go in one side. And I have two of those. So that allows me 20 Marvin Gaye discs to be mobile with me at any given point in time. Now, I have more than 20 Marvin Gaye discs. So, you know, to have a slot up in my disc case is a serious deal. You know, this is the, I have to have it available to me at any and all given points in time. So, yeah, it's a big deal. It's an important deal. And that album, once I got it, did get a permanent spot in it's the second. I actually do, and I do kind of rank my cases. There's my number one case and my number two case. My number two case is kind of secondary material. The number one case is something that is pretty much always in the disc player of the car. The number two case, though, is secondary. At any given point, I may need to hear this, so it needs to be available, but it's not getting played as heavily. That even the quality, the condition of the two cases, one is a lot in better shape, and these things are close. They're 26 years old. They are 25 years old, because I remember the way that I got my first case was a gift from my step aunt. We had gone into a store and we walked out of the store and I didn't even really see her make the purchase. She handed it to me. She had bought this for me on her own. We were coming out of the store and she handed it to me, and it was my first 10 disc case. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Now this was before I could drive, but it just was allowing me to you know, in very pristine presentation, and can, you know, keep them in pristine condition, store my discs, because the way that I needed to listen to them at any given point in time at that point was, oh my gosh, they came out with portable little CD players. And dude, I tried to keep it retro, old school, just a throwback type of trip. My last trip that I took to Hawaii, I made it happen. I got off of the grid. And so I traveled to Kauai without electronic devices that allowed me to be connected to the grid. But it was not going to be possible that I was, number one, traveling that far. Okay. Number two, going away for the length of time that I was going to be able to do that without access to Marvin. And so though I had to figure it out, because there, it was twofold. Number one, the trip had to be experienced off of the grid. I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't take a laptop. I took no electronic connected to the grid devices, but Marvin had to be accessible, and I had to figure out a way that this was going to happen. I almost like wouldn't have been able to take the trip unless I was going to be able to make this happen. And I went into my closet, and I came across, from back in these days, an old portable CD player that I had. And all that it took to run is alkaline batteries, but two double A's. So I plopped them in, put in a disc, push play, and it tried to work. It worked for me on that test run. And so I thought I was going to be able to do it. And the day that I got to the airport to start this trip, I went ahead, pulled it out. I was at my gate. I'm waiting in my chair, you know, for them to start boarding the plane. I got like half an hour before, you know, that process is going to start. So I need to hear music in this downtime. Went ahead and whipped it out. I remember these older ladies, they were older than me, were walking by, and this lady saw me with my little setup like that, and she just gave me this knowing smile. She gave me like a smile of respect, like, yes, do you. You know what I mean? And so I pulled it out. I tried to get it to play. It played for a couple of minutes, and then it started to break down on me, and I wasn't able to really do it. But that's okay, because the only really aspect of this trip that I needed that mobility like that was for airport and flight time. Once I got to Kauai, I had a car, and you know, they probably had a little disc player in the room that I was in. So, you know, it was a trial to be on the flight for that length of time, because it's geez, and I know I had a connection, so it's like a 10-11 hour day, you know, getting out there. So that was difficult, not having Marvin in my ear available to listen to, but, all of that is just to explain how, yes, and especially back in those days, your music, you had to hold it. So, Sexual Healing, that album, once I got it at 19, it's always had a spot in the second, carry case that's, you know, always in my ride. And, but it stayed in its slot a lot of the time. And as I said, I will make an episode of the one song that has given me my life the most. I'm going to just go in as far as to say, of Marvin's songs, period, that gives me life, that gets my life together for me, that helps me sort out my life when I'm going through the most trying mental times, you know, that can just come up in life where it's like I'm mentally struggling to just kind of cope with this. When I'm in those places, the song that gives me my life the most of Marvin, period, is on that album. It's on the studio session stuff that was not released in 1982. Second disc of that collection. And so that was immediately and deeply and then very intensely connected to, you know, from the age of 19. But, and honestly, that is it. And actually, when I just now said that, there are two other songs on the album that this entire time over the years I listened to. There's one that I listen to when I just need it, when I'm in that type of a mood, when the man is showing his ass to you that he needs you and wants you. And, you know, it's Till Tomorrow. So that song has definitely been something that I've connected to for all of these years. And then more recently, I would say within like the past 10 to maybe even 5 years, I really enjoy My Love Is Waiting. I love, 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 love that song. It's so cute. It's upbeat. And it's just the message. And that segues me into Rockin' After Midnight, which really is going to wrap up this episode here. And it, I will title the episode Rockin' After Midnight. This, I'm going to segue from saying that I really love My Love Is Waiting for its upbeat, sweet, the tempo, but honestly, it is the lyrics of the song. So here we go to Rockin' After Midnight. And Rockin' After Midnight has jumped up and just become everything in my life in the year of 2019. And today is June 1st. So, and honestly, I can move it. Why am I even going to give it 6 months of time? This happened in April, and it may have been dipping into May, but I think we were still in the late days of April of 2019 is when Rockin' After Midnight made its heroic appearance into giving me life for the day. So then how this has come about is, okay, where we're at with music now is electric streaming, right? Electronic streaming, MP3, right? You can, it's available on demand. You no longer have to, and especially for me, and I'm not going to say you, I will say me. From the time that I started acquiring my collection, I was 14. So what the context that puts me into is pre-independence of being able to drive. So me being able to acquire Marvin Supply required the accompaniment of an adult that was in the mood, had the energy, gave an F about wanting to get in the car, load up into the car, and drive 25 minutes away from home to the nearest Best Buy store for me to go, you know, painstakingly sift through the supply and make my decision of what was the next album that I was going to get. That didn't get to happen all the time. You know, I wanted it to happen all the time, but there was the limitation of all of that, plus the limitation of my short little money at that point. I was babysitting and that was my income. So it didn't happen. I wasn't working for my money yet, you know. So the struggle used to be legitimately real in order to get your hands on music. It legitimately, literally required you having to be able to hold it in your hand. And so just to even be able to get it into my hand used to be a struggle. And it was really real, dude. So, you know, these kids today don't even know to appreciate the fact that everything is on demand. And so I am all for that. I embrace that. I am living for that. And I do believe it was probably about when I was 34. And I do believe that it was my birthday gift to myself. I bought my I signed up for my subscription to Rhapsody. And it was my birthday. And so I made my Marvin Gaye playlist. I got my account and I got in and I started searching their inventory and I made my Marvin Gaye playlist. And it was a painstaking process because, and I love that I did this because it's it allows me to just draw back to knowing the chronology that I will make these episodes, because I created that playlist to play in the literal song by song order that I came across every single song of Marvin's that I came across in the order that I came across it. And that order was, it's my very personal experience, right? It does not have to be the experience or the order or the sequence that anybody else on the planet. And I, you know what? I know that. I know it's not the order of anybody else on the planet that has discovered Marvin Gaye's material. Isn't that? That's amazing. Not just now in the second that I said that occurred to me. Like, this is my 100% personal journey. So I am completely sharing, you know what I'm saying? The most personal, important information about who I am, you know, and the most joyful, you know, it is my joy. Marvin is my joy. He's my source of joy, and it's joy on demand. You know, that's why I'm living for it, is because it has evolved to a place. It has escalated to a place that it is literally very easy to be on demand. You don't have to hold it in your hand anymore, right? You can have it anywhere now. So I went ahead and I made this playlist, and it turned out to be 7 hours worth of material, and it was in this just beautiful order, and it's just, it was a life-giving experience anytime that I accessed it. And I accessed it every day, right? So the number one thing that was a negative about that, though, from jump, from the night that I was creating this playlist, is that there was a number or a large segment, let me put it that way, of Marvin material that I did not have access to put into my on-demand collection here. There's Marvin Gaye compact discs that I can hold in my hand that I was not able to access electronically in this collection that they had. It's like, oh, they don't have this disc. They don't have this song. I need to hear this song. So now you guys are kind of effing me, because you're making it that if I ever need to hear this song, it has to be in my hand. I'm going to have to be able to have this. So this disc has to stay in the carrying case. You know, and maybe it even needs to get a spot in it now. You know, it just, it was very disappointing. There was some very important material that they just didn't have in their catalog. And so, yeah, it bothered me from jump, but I made do with what they had. And it was a very great little collection that I made. And so that was the case from 34 until probably just about my birthday time this year. So yes, 40, just turned 40. Great, proud, whatever, you know, who cares? It's not that big of a deal. That's the only thing that I realized about it. It's like, oh my God, dude. The kind of disappointing thing about it is, it's like, you are old as hell now, but you don't really feel like it. Your mind is not like it. You know what I mean? I'm still recalling with vivid total recall, you know, being 14. So it's like, you start to show it, but you don't feel it, the age. So, but don't even let me throw myself under the bus like that. I, sister's holding up great. Okay. So, it was about February of this year that, it was like, it just was this random day. It was like, you know what? Let me check out Spotify. You know why this happened? Because I have gotten this smart TV, and Spotify is an app on the TV. And I know I didn't have a Spotify account, so I had never really installed the app, but it was like, let's do that. Because I know with this TV that I got, I used to have Rhapsody as an app on it. And then when I upgraded my TV, Rhapsody was no longer an app on the TV. And I used to listen to Rhapsody through my TV all the time. You know, I need to hear my music. So I would listen to it on my cell phone, on the TV, on my computer, whatever. And then when I changed TVs, Rhapsody was no longer an app and Spotify was. So I made do for a long time without a music app on my TV. But then finally it was just like, I have to have it. Let me go ahead and see what Spotify is all about. So I go ahead and I log into Spotify, I get an account set up, and I go straight to Marvin, of course, right? Like, that's the purpose of having the app. So I go in and immediately, and with just a sigh of relief, there is the bulk of the Marvin material that I have not had access to on demand electronically is chilling right there in Spotify. This was a no-brainer, no questions, immediately. I am not renewing Rhapsody next month. It's an auto pay, comes out of my account every month. And before that happens next month, this account is canceled and this account is created. And life has changed because this has brought me Rockin' After Midnight. Number one, it was just that, like, a plethora of material that has needed to be available daily and at any given point in time like this, influxed into the supply. And the thing that is breaking my mind to this moment right now is that on a daily basis still, when I'm in my Spotify playlist, brand new Marvin Gaye material that I have never heard in my life pops into my ear via my shuffle, because I play it on shuffle. And I'm hearing songs that in these 26 years, that moment is the first time I'm hearing the song. And it's giving me a renewal and a rebirth and a thank you, Jesus, of life. And so, Rockin' After Midnight. One day I'm at work. I come back to my desk. I've been away from my desk for several minutes. And I come back to my desk and I put my earbuds in. And when I do that, I am inundated with this groove. And it's a Marvin groove. And it's an established groove. Marvin has gotten to the groove in this song where every single element is at its height. And when you get to that point, the Marvin Gaye song, that is life-giving. But when you, from just hearing the noise of the office, walking back to your desk, maybe being around people that you cannot effing stand, but you gotta make a living, you know what I'm saying? Please. So you come from that to putting in your earbuds and you are getting sound at the height of a Marvin groove, I almost couldn't breathe. So I had to stop. And I was like, what in the world am I hearing right now? Because for a couple of seconds, I'm just stopping and hearing it. But then when I could move again, I went ahead and got into Spotify to see what the hell was the song that I was hearing right now. And it was Rockin' After Midnight. And it was about halfway through the song. So I was like, okay, this song is going to play from here until it ends, and then immediately when it ends, I am going to take it back to the beginning and sit here and listen to this song from start to finish, because I feel like I just heard something for the very first time in my life that just shook me just now. And so this was a Friday, and this was in April. And this was the first day in the year that was warm enough that I drove my Mustang top down. And this was before lunch. This was shortly before lunch. And so it inspired me. Like, I listened to that song and then I think I stopped it. I think I, like, got out of Spotify after I listened to the song one time, start to finish, because it just, inspiration just started to happen to me. I came home at lunchtime and I decided, it was like, oh my gosh, I have to drive my Mustang today. Like, it is a gorgeous day today. This is the first day of the year that we are talking about top down in my Mustang material. So this is going to happen. Like, I'm going to drive my car, and I never drive my car to work. This is the second time that I ever drove my car to work, and the only other time I drove it was because I needed to take it to the shop. So I was like, I'm going to drive my car from home now, because I always come home for lunch, back to work, and straight from work, I'm going to take my country drive. And so for the rest of it, hearing Rockin' After Midnight gave me that inspiration. And then, so I got back to the office and I was like so excited to get back to the office, because for the rest of the afternoon at the office, Rockin' After Midnight was on repeat. And I'm going to point out repeat right now, start up this series with my take on repeat. I have to listen to Marvin on repeat. When I very first, at the age of 14, started to listen to Marvin, I was doing that. I apologize for my voice right now. I am stuffed up like no other. I can barely breathe through my nose. But I'm not going to stop the recording. So, because I'm feeling this, I'm inspired right now. Repeat. So, the same aunt that bought me my disc case, when I was listening to songs on repeat, and she just wasn't necessarily commenting on me, like, doing that in the moment, but she made this derogatory comment about listening to songs on repeat, and I took it. Personally, I felt a certain type of way, so we kind of had a little debate about this. But she threw out about listening to songs on repeat. So she goes into, back in the 60s, there was some song by The Doors that was kind of like this creepy, maybe almost a little evil sounding song. And there was some girl that she went to school with, and at one point she was hanging out over at this girl's house. And the way that this girl wanted to spend the time as they were hanging out is that she, on her little record player, was just listening to this one Doors song on repeat over and over and over again. And she thought that girl was crazy. And so she was like, listening to a song on repeat is like crazy. Like, that's what she just made it equivalent, that listening to songs on repeat is crazy. Well, I was deep into doing that myself with my Marvin at that point in time. And I'm sorry, I took offense to being considered crazy because I need to listen to Marvin on repeat, like, almost all the time. That's how I'm learning. That's how I am taking in. That's how I am getting the nuances. That's how I am getting that at minute 3:25 in My Love Is Waiting, on the Sexual Healing album, Marvin literally blows. That's just it. He's singing the song, but at minute 3:25, all Marvin does is literally blow, but it's every single part of the song. It's like the minute and second of the song that you need to hear, because when it is, it's this year. The reason I'm saying this, I have to say this because I'm going to make an episode about that and it will be about the blow. But it's been this year that I have noticed that that's a term, right? That people use when someone can sing, right? Oh, he can blow. That bothers me because I'm like, well, what the F does that mean? That he can blow, right? And so it is this year that, like, I kind of take, you know, that I have an issue with that. Like, I take issue with that term because what the F does that mean, right? Except for, it has come to my attention as I am able, it is at moments that I hear Marvin actually literally do that, that I'm like, wait a minute. Marvin literally blows in his songs from time to time. Marvin does not do it in every single song. But there are some songs where the second of the song that you need to pay attention to is when Marvin has literally just blown. So now I'm living for Marvin blowing, right? And so you're going to find stuff like that, though, when you've heard the song 50 times in a row. And it's in that is, I think, the part that my aunt meant about crazy, right? Is because if you listen to something on repeat, you're doing it in a row, right? It is I now have heard this song 50 times in a row. And so to somebody who's not tripping with you, maybe it's a little crazy. But for me, that is a any given day on Marvin, okay? That, and especially, you know what, I honestly, I have to give it. It's the first times. It is the experiences like that where I came back to my desk, I put in my earbuds, and I didn't realize that I had forgotten to pause Spotify when I had walked away from my desk. When I was putting my earbuds, that's an important thing to distinguish here. When I was putting in my earbuds like that, I was expecting that nothing was going to be in my ears because I was expecting to have to unlock my locked screen and click on Spotify and open up Spotify and probably press play. Because I had paused it. And if I didn't have to press play, I was going to just have to decide what I was going to listen to next. Okay, I needed to point that out a few minutes back. Instead of that being my experience, I put in my earbuds expecting silence. And instead, I got my life handed to me because I was brought in at the height of a Marvin groove being given, and I just, like I said, I couldn't breathe and I couldn't move for a couple seconds. So that created the need, and it created what happened for the rest of the afternoon when I very excitedly came from home with my Mustang, knowing that the rest of my day was planned out. I was going back to work to listen to Rockin' After Midnight for the rest of the day on repeat. And as soon as I was able to step out of the office for the day, I was going into my Mustang and I was going to be able to listen to Rockin' After Midnight through my Shaker sound system with top down, driving through the country, getting refreshed, brand new life. And it happened, and it was the rest of my day into night, and it was every single thing. And so, Rockin' After Midnight, dude, it is Marvin showing off. It is Marvin at masterclass level. It is ending Marvin. It's Marvin's last studio released album. It is Marvin getting his life in Belgium, renewing himself from several years of trials and refreshing himself and rejuvenating himself and approaching his music with new gusto and just new inspiration and just new, I'm doing this and I'm actually gonna just show the F off right now. You think I haven't been doing this shit for 25 years now at this point? And that I don't have my hand on every single element, aspect of making my music, and that I don't create a groove, and I don't give it to you hard once I get you there, and I don't sing you lyrics that are about pure love and just creating a genre, creating a sound that you can now, you're welcome. Everybody else can now follow suit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, Rockin' After Midnight is all of that. And honestly, the part that had me listening to that for the next probably 8 hours was the lyrics of the song. It is a love song. And so I challenge you, I'm wrapping this up, to listen to Rockin' After Midnight and hear it enough times until you understand that that is a pure love song giving you groove hardcore Marvin Groove, okay? Because there's Groove and then there's Marvin Groove. So Marvin gave you two really important gifts in that song. Hardcore Marvin Groove, capped off, topped off, sprinkled off, cherried off, whipped creamed off with love song galore. Enjoy.
Well, friends, that's it for this episode. Did we have fun? I had fun. Subscribe to our show so you never miss the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye. And we're excited to announce that you can follow us on Pinterest at our page, pinterest.com/MarvinGaye_enduring_gifts. There, you can see our gorgeous picture boards for each podcast episode, among many others. These boards are full of images of Marvin capturing key moments from each episode. We're making this a listening and viewing experience for you. So until next time, thank you for listening.